And welcome back to another edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Now coming at you Mondays and Fridays. We're splitting up the show a little bit because usually we're trying to cram a lot into just an hour-long segment or an hour-long show. But we're splitting it up now. Zach Kellogg joined with Chris Dermer as always. And now on our Monday editions, we're going to be talking pretty much pro sports, our fantasy football teams, NFL, NBA, just what's going on in the pro atmosphere or in the pro realm of things, just to make it easier on ourselves so we aren't rushing and trying to cram everything in through an hour. And again, you're listening to the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast on KUI 89.3 FM. This is a pre-recorded show, 11:16 a.m. on the 5th of October. The reason why Chris gave a little laugh is because I'm wearing my KUI white t-shirt right now with the big old logo across it and thought it looked funny. But Chris, how you doing? How's your weekend?
Dude, it's good. Great weekend. I'm excited for doing the show on Mondays now, or special Monday morning scoreboard episodes, I like to call them. Yeah. And yeah, I'm just ready to dive into the weekend of football and heck, even some basketball that happened last night.
Yeah. And again, you know, this allows us, you know, maybe have a couple more condensed episodes, you know, so that way we aren't
exactly.
Some people maybe just don't want to listen to an hour long and stuff. So, you know, we can go about a half hour, just knock out everything we want to talk about. And then on Fridays, we're still going to do our weekly pick'em games for, you know, our running total for the NFL and seeing by the end of the season who can get the most games right. But starting off for the NFL this week, I think, you know, we touched on it on Friday, COVID-19 and how that's going to impact. We're seeing we were like, oh, like I remember you said, you know, later in the season, things might be happening. I said about midseason, but then it happened. It hit the Patriots pretty hard.
No.
Because now Cam was out. The Patriots had to wait to get tested to be able to play in Kansas City. So that game got moved from Sunday to tonight. So we have two Monday games, one late afternoon, one evening. And then the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game was just straight up made a bye. And now the Steelers have to play 13 straight weeks of uninterrupted football, which is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, the Steelers got pretty screwed out of anybody, which sucks, but it's the way it is. I mean, heck, I'm excited that we're getting two Monday night games tonight. You know, we're getting Pats Chiefs. Granted, I was hoping to see Cam versus Patrick Mahomes, but hey, we get to see what Jared Stidham's really all about.
Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer's getting the start.
It's Brian Hoyer. Yeah. Stidham's just not getting the start.
Stidham's still on. He was on the COVID/reserve list.
Ah, okay.
So
okay.
But I think an even bigger thing though is when you look at the Chiefs. Here's what their schedule looks like now. They have this evening, you know, late-ish game on Monday. Then they play on the 11th, and then they play on the 15th. Three games in 10 days.
Oh, wow.
That is going to – I think that might be, you know
– it's going to be tough.
The biggest thing. Because, yeah, you play on Monday, Sunday, Thursday. Short week and then a shorter week.
Yeah.
That is going to be an ultimate challenge for this team. Like, I thought last week against the Ravens was going to be a big challenge, but I think this one is even freaking bigger.
Yeah, and who knows how many other teams that they're going to have to be put in situations like this, playing three games in 10 days. Or, like, I'm waiting to see what if a team has to play Monday night and then they have to turn around and they're scheduled for that Thursday night game as well with only, like, 2 days of rest in between. Like, that's crazy to think about in NFL terms.
Yeah, I mean that's what the league tries to avoid is, you know, if you do play, like, a Sunday and a Thursday, we almost never see a Monday, Thursday, and then, like, you know, because that just really just screws everything up in your schedule.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, and then the Chiefs have 10 days off from their game against the Bills, which is that last one in the 10-day span. And then they have 10 days off until they play the Broncos. So they have a bit more of a break there, but you're trying to cram a lot of football into a week and a half.
Yeah. But, you know, despite all the craziness of COVID, it was still another great weekend of football.
It was. Yes, it was. What was your favorite game from the from this last weekend, Chris?
You know, other than the Colts getting a great win over the Bears, I will have to say the Browns and the Cowboys.
Yeah. Dak Prescott throwing for over 500. And then you had Odell still in the game with that 50-yard run that looked like it was going to be a loss of eight. And then he turned.
He was on my fantasy bench. He was on my fantasy bench.
Oh, look at you go.
Real unfortunate. Real unfortunate.
On the fantasy football side of things, how are you doing? Because I know you're in more than one league. How are your teams doing this year?
Honestly, I think I have one squad that's doing pretty well and the other two not so well. I think the one that we're in, the league we're in, I don't think I'm doing too hot. That's the one I had OBJ on the bench.
Let's see. This week,
I started Darrell Henderson, the running back for the Rams, over Odell Beckham Jr.
Let's see. I have 101.5 points. I'm projected 137 because I still have two guys to play. And the guy I'm playing, Max, he has 51 points right now, and he's projected 86. So I'm going to be 4-0 in this league.
Man, yep, I am losing once again. Wow, it's not a good year for me. That's what happens when I leave 38 points on the bench from Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, and by the way, 25 from CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, and then in my other league, I have 64 right now. The guy I'm playing has 70.9. But all of his players have played, and I still have two yet to play, and I'm projected 103. So man. I'm gonna be undefeated in both my leagues to start the year.
Well, aren't you just fortunate?
I know, right? I mean, I see. This is what always happens. I'll do really well at the start, and then all my players will start getting hurt or doing really bad, and then I have nowhere to go. So we'll just wait until that inevitably happens to me, and then I'll finish like second to last place overall.
I am happy, though, that now I think I am winning when it comes to our pick-ems.
Yeah, you are. You're up one now.
I'm up one because you picked the Jags, and I told you Joey Burrow is coming in clutch.
Yeah, well, I mean, Minshew had a better day through the air in terms of yards. So, I mean, you could
still
say
lost.
That.
You still
yeah.
lost.
Yeah,
you
still the L. Yeah. Yeah, Burrow played exceptionally well. I mean, 25 or 36, 300 yards. I mean, touchdown and a pick.
What was the other game we did?
That was Bills, Raiders, and we both picked Bills. So we both got that one.
We got it? Okay.
Yeah. Bills still undefeated. Joe Mixon, 151 on the ground. 6 yards to carry, two touchdowns. Mixon having himself a day. And overall, I mean, the Bengals, I mean, they're 1-2-1. They have looked pretty good this season for what was supposed to be probably like the worst team in the NFL outside of the Jags and the Jets. But even the Jags, they haven't looked too bad this year.
No, the only team that's really looked terrible has been the Jets. You know, the Jaguars and the Bengals both, they're being competitive, which is all that really matters, you know, especially it's nice to be tanking, but still be competitive.
Yeah. And I feel like, honestly, the team right now that I see is like not doing too hot, but still having like a super high ceiling is the Washington Football Club. I mean,
okay,
that defensive line, I think even now they are solid. I think you give it another 2 years, it might be the best defensive line in football. And then you get this draft, maybe sign a free agent here and there. And if Dwayne Haskins continues to progress in a way that he can actually be, you know, a legitimate starter quarterback that can, you know, get wins and control the game. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington, you know, 2-3 years from now is, you know, running the NFC East or is, you know, a legitimate team in the conference.
Yeah. Okay, so right now I'm looking on NBCSports.com.
Yeah.
And they just released the Week 5 power rankings.
Okay.
I'm going to go through them real quick and we'll see your thoughts.
Okay.
So bottom is pretty self-explanatory. We got the Jets and the Giants. Both New York teams are the two worst teams in the NFL right now. So sorry to be a New York fan right now. Number 30, Houston Texans.
Yep.
29, Atlanta Falcons. They still play tonight, so who knows? Maybe they can get an upset over the Green Bay Packers.
On the road, 20, maybe. I don't think so, though.
28, the Washington football team.
Okay.
27, Denver Broncos.
Okay.
26, the Lions.
Hmm.
At 25, the NFC East leaders right now, the Philadelphia Eagles, at 1-2-1. They lead their division. 24, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Miami Dolphins at 23. Minnesota Vikings at 22. Bengals at 21. And now here's one right here. This is a big one right here, these two. At 20, the Dallas Cowboys. And at 19, the Chicago Bears.
Huh.
What are your thoughts on those rankings right there?
Okay. So I'm pulling this up because like I'm like trying to keep track in my head, and I was like, okay, like let's see it real quick. So Dolphins, Vikings, Bengals. Okay, the Bears so far haven't been anything special. Like when they were 3-0, I was like, I don't really see
anything from agree. This team. I definitely agree.
Dallas, they have just been disappointing. It's
defense.
Year.
It's been, that defense that's been very disappointing that they put all their money on.
I mean, yeah, you put all your money on DeMarcus Lawrence. You give him that huge contract, and he hasn't even had a sack yet this year, I believe.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. I mean, it's kind of easy at the bottom of the rankings to just kind of like being like, oh, these teams are bad. I think that Washington should be above Denver, Lions. I mean, again, it's like all these teams are 1-3 or, you know, winless for a reason. And yeah, Jets should be in last place. Giants should be right there. Texans have just been absolutely awful. Falcons blown two huge leads and I've just been bad. See what they can do tonight. But so far, I don't really have an issue with these rankings. I mean, I think they're pretty, for me, they're pretty spot on. Maybe
yeah, I agree with you.
I might have the Browns or the Bears despite being 3-1. I couldn't put them below the Cowboys because the Cowboys only have one win, but I think that's a good spot for them despite being 3-1.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then at 18, we got the Chargers.
Okay.
17, Panthers.
Mm.
The Raiders come in at 16, the Las Vegas Raiders. Then we got the San Francisco 49ers at 15.
Huh, and so then they're below the Cardinals. Okay, they are below the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are at 14. The Saints are at 13. Then we got the Browns getting in the top 12. What a strange world, making it 3-1 on the season.
I don't know about that. That jump up seven spots after a win against the Dallas team no one is really high on.
The Browns have looked pretty good, though.
But look at the teams they've played. They played the Ravens, who they got blown out by. Then they played the Bengals, who just got their first win. Washington, whose only win is against the week one Eagles, who still aren't very good. And then you have the Cowboys who only have one win. I mean, I'm not sold on the Browns yet because they haven't really played anyone outside the Ravens and they got destroyed. They got slaughtered. So
it's going to be a very interesting matchup this week with the Browns taking on the Colts. Colts right now have the top defense in the NFL and the Browns just put up 49 points last week. So Should be an interesting matchup.
3-1, 3-1. All right, that one is definitely one to keep our eyes on.
The Rams at 11, and then heck yeah, there you go. There's the Colts. I was wondering where they were. Make the top 10. Okay, I'm happy with that.
So, how are you feeling that you guys are on a 3-game-1 streak right now after that opening week loss to the Jags?
That opening week loss that hurt. We shouldn't have lost that one. Plain and simple, we should be 4-0, I think. Vikings, that was a pretty big win. Granted, the Vikings aren't really good this year, but their offense is still pretty potent. So to see us hold the Vikings down was pretty exciting. The Jets, I'm just happy we beat the Jets. Simple as that. It's the Jets. And then, you know, playing the Bears, playing the undefeated Bears. Their defense is no joke. They have a crazy good red zone defense. And I was worried going into the fourth quarter because that's where the Bears' magic has been happening in the fourth quarter. To hold them to only a touchdown in the fourth was really great. This never thought I'd see the day that the Colts have a better defense than they do in offense.
Yeah.
But they do. So it's nice to be able to rely on the defense.
All right, number nine, who do we got?
Number nine, we got the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Eight, the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I have no issue. So far, these power rankings have been pretty,
yeah,
pretty solid. Yeah, I'm okay. I don't have too many quabbles with it or quarrels with it.
Yeah.
Here is one I'm not as high on as a lot of people.
What, seven, Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Okay. My Super Bowl contenders, not high on them?
I mean, Tom's thrown four pick sixes this year.
He also threw five touchdown passes yesterday.
I mean,
he also
it was against the Chargers, who, I mean, admittedly do have a pretty good defense, but it's not as good as it should be or has been. I just haven't seen anything that's like, all right, this team, they are, you know, I can see them winning a Super Bowl. I just haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Plenty of season for them to start off 3-1.
It's just 4 weeks in, but that's for me. I'm just not sold on the Bucks yet.
Well, the Bears, it'll actually be a pretty good Thursday night matchup this week with them facing off with the Bears. Getting okay. Nick Foles versus Tom Brady Super Bowl rematch. So that should be interesting to see.
Yeah, that will be interesting, yeah. In Chicago. Okay.
Yep. Number six, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Number five, the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Number four, and now the final four. We got Buffalo at four. Buffalo Bills. I think deservingly so. They deserve to be there. Baltimore Ravens at number three. There was a really, really rough loss against the Chiefs, but they regrouped and got it done against Washington.
Yeah.
Number two, you should be happy about this one. You know where this is. The Seattle Seahawks. Russ is cooking. He tied Peyton Manning's record for most touchdown passes throughout the first four games of the season.
14.
So he's on pace. He's on pace. Russ may finally get that MVP this year.
Okay. And then number one, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
You know what? I don't think Seattle should be this high at number two.
Wow.
As an object, like, I'm just, like, again, I'm a Seattle fan, but I like to be objective and be real. That defense has allowed the most yards ever through the first 4 weeks of the season.
So despite
the fact that we're 4-0, we haven't been doing it by, like, destroying teams or, you know, being, like, super convincingly. It's all been outside of the Atlanta game. And even then, the Atlanta team made that late run to try and, you know, get it close.
Well, even Miami this weekend.
No, yeah. I will say that is Seattle to Miami. That is literally the longest distance you can travel to go on the road for a game.
Oh, definitely.
And it's completely, like, and so I usually, like, I remember a few years ago, Seattle lost there against Tannehill. And, you know, like, so I'm not too, you know, worried about the play overall or how tight the score was. I kind of expected that. I was going to be really happy if we blew them out, but I was like, that's just not what happens usually for Seattle in long road trips.
Mm-hmm.
But that defense just hasn't been great. And then, I mean, we signed Denarius Randle, who was the former Chicago or former Cleveland Brown, Jamal Adams, still a little hurt right now. He didn't make the trip. And then you have Bruce Irvin out. We still have arguably the worst pass rush in the NFL. Our secondary, yeah, I thought was going to be very solid because we had Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Shaquem Griffin, and Quentin Dunbar, and Trey Flowers in the slot. They just haven't been good really at all. And so we're 4-0, and I could see us still going on a tear of, you know, beating the Vikings, beating the Cardinals, beating the Niners, maybe beating the – it's just Russ can only play at, like, this all-time level. You can't expect it every single game. In every MVP season, you have one game where he dips, where the quarterback doesn't play the best, or, you know, the defense figures him out. Even when Patrick Mahomes scored 50 touchdowns, what was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Not every game was five touchdowns a game. Their defense was a huge issue. Yeah, and so I still think Seattle could be, you know, 12-4, 13-3. I legitimately think that because our schedule isn't the worst, because the Vikings should be an easy win. I'm saying should. It's a primetime game too.
Yeah.
The Cardinals will be interesting because that's always difficult on the road. Niners, if they're still injury-ridden, could be a win at home. Bills, that defense is real. Same with Josh Allen. And so, I mean, the only teams I see really giving us hiccups down the stretch are the Bills. And then maybe the Rams and the Niners, too. Like the NFC West teams, because it's division rivalries.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking through this and I'm like, not like it's there's I'm not saying it's a high chance, but there is a chance. I mean, when I was just looking at it objectively, I was like, this team could go, you know, 14-2, 15-1. I don't know about 16-0, but I think if Seattle continues to go with this offense, and once they get Josh Gordon into the lineup and this offense is able to, you know, again, be even more diverse and lethal. Same with Philip Dorsett. That's even more weapons for us to cook with. And yeah, I mean, that's, I'm kind of rambling right now, but I mean, honestly, Seattle, I wouldn't be surprised if they're the number one seed in the NFC, just with how San Francisco is hit with injuries hard and with how the schedule lines up. If we're playing both New York teams, Washington, the Eagles, this is like the perfect year for us to play the NFC, what, the NFC East.
Yeah, it seems like it's already written that the Seahawks should be the number one team in the NFC. Like, by the end of the regular season, they should be number one.
Should be. That's the thing right there. That's
the thing. They should be.
Yeah.
They should be. So, we'll see what happens, but they should be. This team actually reminds me – it's funny. It reminds me a lot of, like, the Broncos team that the Seahawks beat in the Super Bowl. They have a crazy potent offense with, you know, the receivers are now weapons because Russ is just feeding them like crazy.
Yeah.
The run game, even though the Seahawks are known for the downhill style of running, I think right now it's you're a passing team. Like, you have to be a passing team.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one thing that I told you this at the start of the year, you know, let Russ cook, but you need that run game because – if you rely on Russ too much, he's not going to have time to throw. You know, they're just going to start just blitzing and forcing you to try and just run it to make them, you know, back off or show the line has time. The line's been solid this year. And we still have Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde. And, I mean, I don't think Rashad Penny has played this year yet. But, I mean, the run game is still pretty good. Russ is, I think, might be our leading rusher still. Don't forget
Travis Homer, too.
Yeah, and Travis Homer, who I really like. Chris Carson was only rushed for 237 yards total this season.
You guys have a very, very – the Seahawks have a very balanced offensive attack, which reminds me
– yeah, I say a balanced balanced amount of weapons, but they're leaning on the passing game, but they can do either or. So
– yeah, if the defense can just figure something out, to not just be allowing, I don't know, almost like 30 points a game, it's seeming like, in some situations. They should be the Seahawks should be fine. It should be a pretty easy path to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm interested to see a potential Green Bay-Seattle matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in years past, it's a very favored Seattle win. But both offenses, they have two of the best offenses in the NFL right now, I think. But two of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
And, yeah, again, like, our running back room is good, and we still have Rashad Penny on IR right now. And, when, like you said, we still have Travis Homer. We still have Carlos Hyde, Chris Carson. And when I look at our injury list, this is another thing that really worries me, because remember last year, Seattle had a chance to be the one seed in that week 17 against San Francisco, in Seattle. If Seattle wins that, they're the number one seed.
And, jeez.
But then injuries forced us to bring back Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin, running backs who were just free agents because no one else wanted them. And right now we have Jordan Brooks, our first round pick out, Quentin Dunbar, the guy we traded from Washington, out, Carlos Hyde out, Nico Thorpe, our special teams captain, out, Jamal Adams also out. That starts making me nervous, you know.
I think I'm looking here. I'm trying to find the defensive rankings, and it's seeming like the Seahawks have literally the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah. Like I was saying, most yards ever allowed by like 100 through the first 4 weeks of the season. Again, that's not by accident. Like I said, it just makes me nervous. I just hope they can figure it out. I just hope they, because this team can compete for a Super Bowl. They just have to start figuring it out now and make sure that defense doesn't become a total liability.
I agree.
All right, NFL, anything else you want to touch on or something that you saw this week?
Let me think. And other than Philip Rivers being Philip Rivers, it was actually funny because you could, during the Bears game, him and Roquan Smith kept going at it, and that was just a sight to see. That's the only thing I do like about Philip Rivers, is that he's not afraid to trash talk, and it's nice to have him on our team being the trash talker. It's almost like it's fueling everyone else. It's a nice change of pace from the quiet quarterbacks we've basically had over the past few years with Jacoby Brissett, you know, Andrew Luck, heck, even Peyton, for the most part, he didn't really trash talk too much.
Yeah.
The most depressing thing, though, that happened this weekend was, I don't know, a local Colts beat writer, he tweeted out, he's like, man, imagine Andrew Luck with this defense. And I'm just like, why'd you have to do that, man? Why'd you have to say that? Because, yes, if the Colts had Andrew Luck right now, I don't even want to think of it, but I know we'd probably be the best AFC team, if not one of the best three. Like, it'd be simple. It would be the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Colts, because that's just where I think Andrew Luck would rank amongst AFC quarterbacks currently.
Mm-hmm. All right. Off the top of your head right now, I have, so I don't want to ask you. This is also very surprising because I didn't even realize this until I looked at it. So Dak is the top quarterback in terms of yards so far this season. Russ is number three right now.
Yeah.
Who's number two?
In yards, passing?
Passing yards, yeah.
Who's number two in passing yards?
Yeah.
Oh.
I want your guess on who's number two in passing yards. Dak is one. Russ is three.
Let me see. Jared Goff.
Okay. Two more guesses, because that's wrong.
Dang it. Have I been talking about him? If you're saying Philip Rivers, that's crazy.
No. It's not Philip Rivers. We haven't been talking about him.
Okay. Wait. So Dak is one. Yep. Who's three?
Russ.
Patrick Mahomes, number two?
Nope. He's not even in the top five.
Is this Josh Allen?
There you go. Josh Allen
okay.
has the second right. most yard. He's averaging 331 yards a game, 12 touchdowns, one pick.
Yeah, he's putting up some crazy good numbers this year. It's not just the Bills defense anymore. That offense is no joke.
And he's top 10 in completion percentage. Yep. In yards per pass, he's only behind Russ. And I think he has the longest – no, he does not have the longest touchdown pass or the longest pass so far this year. But, again, he's second in the NFL in passing touchdowns. And I think he's one of the best in terms of only one pick. Him, Lamar, and Tannehill are the only three starters that only have one pick so far this season.
Yeah, you know, right now it's seeming the MVP race is between Russ and Josh Allen.
I'd have to say, you know, got to give Aaron Rodgers. I'd say yeah, he has to be in that conversation right now.
Yeah, he probably is too.
But Aaron Rodgers, where he's 22nd in passing yards. He has 887 yards. Granted, he still needs to play tonight, so he could be at 1,100. But, man, this Josh Allen has made a huge leap from where he was 2 years ago. To where he is now. Like, I was always kind of like, you know, super strong arm. Let's see what happens. But he has just been playing tremendous this season. And Buffalo is – I'm just surprised at how well the offense is meshing and how well Stephon Diggs is just kind of already working with Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, tall, you know, kid from Wyoming, is one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the league as well.
I would just say he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, currently, in general.
Yeah.
He's putting up crazy numbers. He's got a mission. And, you know, it's good to be a Bills fan right now. Buffalo finally has a quarterback that they can rely on. Good for them.
I'm trying to see how many rushing yards he has this year. Because I want to see just overall – just his stats. Let me see here. Why is it so hard to find rushing stats for quarterbacks?
Why is it just so hard to find NFL stats in general?
I know.
A reliable source.
All right, so he doesn't have too many. He didn't even rush for more than 7 yards through his first two games. And then he ran for 19, then he ran for 57.
Okay.
Or no, he ran for, you know, over 70 yards his first two games. In the last 2 weeks, he hasn't.
All right,
Josh Allen, man. Go Josh Allen, honestly. Go Mountain West.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for the Bills.
The Bills actually having some success. Do you think they'll break their playoff drought this year and actually win a playoff game?
I think so, yes.
Honestly, I don't want this to happen, but I think it's going to be like – they'll make it to the playoffs. They'll be like a top three seed.
Unless they have to play the Colts, then I will say no. They're not going to win. But
yeah, I feel like they're going to make it, and they're going to be like this. Like, all right, like it's going to be like last year when it was like it's going to be Ravens, it's going to be Chiefs, book it, and then the Titans just come in and just beat them. I think that's going to happen with the Bills this year. It's just going to be like, all right, the streak continues. Bills haven't won a playoff game since '97, I think. Hopefully not.
Who knows, man?
We'll see.
It could be just a even crazier year in the NFL for all we know.
Yeah. But now we can pivot. We can now pivot to the hardwood down to Orlando as the NBA Finals continue on. Miami winning Game 3. Jimmy Buckets, 40-point triple-double, third player ever to do so. And the first time LeBron has been outscored, out-assisted, and out-rebounded by a player in an NBA Finals game.
Did you catch the game at all last night, Zach? I'm assuming.
A little bit. I caught a bit of it. Yeah. Early on, I mean, after the Heat came back or the Lakers came back from down like 22-9, and they went on that run, I was like, okay, that's what happened in Game 1 and 2. They're gonna go on a run, go up by like 15 or 20 and just right to the end of the game. But Miami,
and nope,
they played man defense, something they haven't really wanted to do. They played man defense without Bam and without Dragic, and they won.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, I mean, so what were your thoughts on that game overall? Where everyone thought it was going to be a sweep, but now with this win, does that change your mind on if this is going to go more than five?
I hope so. I want it to be a competitive series. It's going to – can they do it again in game four? Possibly. You know, but with them having the chance of Bam Adebayo coming back for the Heat, that will help because they absolutely need at least Bam to come back. They definitely need another big physical presence. Kelly Olynyk for the Heat has been outstanding in these NBA finals. The local Gonzaga product has just been balling out, which is just really cool to see. And then, yeah, you know, Jimmy was just doing Jimmy things last night, and he put the game on his back. Every time down the court, he was one getting the rebound, and he was the one just, especially in that fourth quarter, they just cleared out and let Jimmy go to work.
Yeah.
And even when he wasn't open, he was making the passes to Tyler Hero to take a three or just making that extra effort. You know, it's not like he hasn't been playing bad the first two games, but he's been more of a playmaker looking to pass first rather than to get his own. Mm-hmm. And this is the Jimmy the Heat need, is the one that occurred in game three, just going to the rim, attacking and attacking relentlessly every time, getting to the free throw line, and then, you know, having the defense collapse on him so then that could help him kick to his shooters.
Yeah.
It was great. It was really cool to see. The Lakers just looked flustered all night. In a lot of the ways, too, I think it had to do with the Lakers beating themselves. They had, like, six turnovers in the first quarter or something like that. They were just reckless and careless with the basketball, including LeBron at times. But I think the Lakers will bounce back. That's why this game four is now really, really crucial, and why they definitely need Bam, because the Lakers are going to come out furious. I'm just going to assume right now that the Lakers are going to come out with the Kobe jerseys, possibly. If I were the Heat, I'd wear their blacks, because you don't want the Lakers to come out in the Kobe jerseys. That's just like a death sentence.
Well, what if Miami comes out in the baby blue Vice jerseys?
That's not good. They always lose in those.
What about the pink Vice jerseys? What about the white Vice jerseys?
We haven't seen the Vice jerseys these playoffs. There's a reason.
The baby blue ones came out once. I think so. I'm almost sure.
Well, I mean, we may see the baby blues. We may see the baby blues tomorrow night, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Whatever happened to the Reds?
I mean, they just haven't really.
They've been really wearing the Reds. I used to love those Reds.
I mean, if you look back, there have just been like so many good uniforms.
Yeah.
And jersey combos that the Heat have had over the past now 10 years since LeBron came there. You have the whites, the blacks, the reds. You had the all whites, the all blacks. You had now the Vice editions. I mean, the Heat, I think, have probably the best jersey variety. I mean, the NBA, since Nike has taken over and since they've been able to do what they want, there's just so many good jerseys now. There's not really one I really hate at the moment off the top of my head.
If the Lakers come out in the Kobe jerseys, it's done. It's over, I think. But if they don't, then there's a chance for the Heat. It's a chance. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, so the Heat won in their yellow jerseys. Then they won in the Kobe jerseys. Then they lost in the white jerseys.
Yep. The Lakers haven't lost in their Kobe jerseys yet.
I think it says like 60-40 right now. I won't be surprised if the Heat win game four and tied up 2-2.
I won't either.
And I won't be surprised if Jimmy Butler. I won't be surprised if Jimmy Butler only drops like 20 points. I won't be surprised with that either, and the Heat still win. I won't be surprised.
No, Jimmy needs to drop at least 30 for the Heat to win.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah, he needs to do what he did again and keep coming with it consistently. I'm not talking about 40-point triple-doubles, but at least from a scoring perspective, he needs to be scoring at anywhere close to 30, I think, in order for them to get the win. They just need to stay on Jimmy's back. This team and the way the series is starting to go, it's giving me a lot of 06 Miami Heat vibes.
Yeah.
Coming down 2-0. And if they, you know, Dwayne Wade was that guy back then. And Jimmy Butler, in a lot of ways now with the Heat, is just mirroring the path that D Wade took just heck of a lot later in his career. But
I mean, for the Lakers, I think one of the biggest things that concerns me is not really even a concern. It's just that, you know, LeBron and AD are going to get you like at least 20 points apiece. Again, it comes down to, can Kuzma hit his shots? KCP hit his shots? Can AD not have four fouls in the midway through the third quarter? So I think that was huge too. It just kind of comes down to just, all right, we just need you guys just to do what we have you here to do.
Yeah, I think that's what was very uncharacteristic of the Lakers again last night was the, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they weren't their usual selves, you know. It was actually the Laker bench that was kind of leading the way, you know, Kuzma and Markieff Morris, who's been having a pretty good series as well, shooting decently from beyond the arc. Those two were leading the way. Bron was playing all right. And heck, even Anthony Davis wasn't playing terrible, but, you know, the foul troubles, he just wasn't getting a lot of looks like he has been the first two games of the series.
Yeah. Game four is going to be interesting. I'm really excited for it.
The biggest thing that happened was the Heat now have life again. They know, as it was something that Jimmy said during the post game, they now know that, yes, the Lakers are beatable. So,
and again, I mean, like for Danny Green, you can't go 0-for-6 from the field in the NBA Finals.
No.
KCP, you can't go 1-for-5. AD, you can't only have 5 rebounds and 15 points and have a negative 26 plus minus. And LeBron's 8 turnovers. I mean, LeBron, like, you have to look at that too. Like, all right, he had 25, 10, and 8.
And definitely.
But 8 turnovers, that can't happen. And like you said, Markieff.
It's Markieff. Marcus, I think, is the one with the Clippers.
Yeah, and so you got, Markieff and Kyle Kuzma dropping a combined 38. But then you have Caruso only, you know, he has 8 points, shot 1-for-4. Then you got Rondo, 2-for-8. You know, 5 assists, 8 rebounds. Like, it's just like you just need just that little bit more. Because then I'm like, all right, if Danny Green shoots 50%, if KCP makes, you know, 1 to 2 more shots from the field, even 1, Rondo hits like 2 more shots or 1 more shot, the Lakers are ahead and they win the game.
Yeah.
It's just the little things again. But I'm excited. Are you leaning towards the Lakers tonight?
To win game 4?
Yeah.
I think so. I think the Lakers will take game 4. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if the Heat steal game 4 again. Yeah. I wouldn't be. It depends. Like I said, if Bam comes back, then I think the Heat have a good shot of taking game 4. But without Bam still,
without Bam, I mean, the Heat still won.
That is true. Granted, there's right. You are right. You know, their only win so far in these finals has been without Bam. But I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You still have nothing to stop Anthony Davis. Someone needs to guard Anthony Davis. And I'm sorry, but Myers Leonard and Kelly Olynyk, they can't do it by themselves. It was a team effort last night to all defend Anthony Davis, to collapse on him and trap him and stuff. But really, I think this the Heat have been getting lucky because once Davis gets trapped, he has to kick it to a Danny Green or a, you know, Caldwell Pope, and they just weren't making their shots. Yeah. So who knows? It's just I'm excited. I'm hoping it's just going to be a good series from now on. I don't want it to end in five. Go to at least six, please.
Yeah, I just don't know. I'm excited to see. I mean, I just want this to go on as much as possible. And I said this at the start of the series. Either way, I'm happy. LeBron gets ring number four, or the Miami Heat win as a five seed and get their fourth ring.
They're not going to get swept. They're not going to get swept. That's a big thing.
Yeah,
they're not getting swept. So.
Now I just can't stop thinking about that Paul Pierce interview when he's like, oh, if the Heat are title contenders, then anybody's a title. Then every team in the NBA is a title contender. It's like, all right. What about it, Paul? What about it?
Yeah.
All right.
Paul Pierce is something else.
We'll wrap up the show now, and we'll head on out. And again, twice weekly shows, once on Monday, once on Friday. This one, I mean, we still went for almost our full usual time. This was just professional sports. And, you know, just the NFL and the NBA.
I think our Monday ones will still probably go the normal time. I think it's our Friday shows that will probably be a little shorter now.
But, yeah.
But that's okay.
It's a new, you know, it's a new format, breaking it up in half, essentially, while still talking about everything we want to talk about. And, again, if anyone, you know, if you made it to this point of the podcast, thank you so much for being here. And shoot us both texts or messages on Twitter. My ad is at @Kellogg_Zach. @Kellogg _Zack. And Chris's is at @Chris_Dermer. Dermer is all capitalized, and it is DEREMER. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know if you want to talk about anything else. Start a new weekly tradition or series or anything like that within the show. Chris, you want to plug anything else before we head out?
Yes, you can also catch me on the Yellowcast, where me and three friends gather around and talk video games and pop culture. We will have two new episodes. We are recording two new episodes live this Wednesday, coming Wednesday night. And you will see that uploaded on Friday at anchor.fm/the-Yellowcast. Or you can also follow us on Spotify. I think we're on CastBox now. There's a bunch of little other podcast services. Still trying to get that coveted Apple Podcasts one day. but yeah, check us out.
And again, anything relating to Vandal Sports, if you want to catch up on what's going on around Moscow and around the University of Idaho, go to thevandalnation.com and also go to Vandal Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see what the Vandals are up to, what stories that we are doing at the Argonaut at the University of Idaho. And we're signing off on a Monday, and we'll see you all Thursday. Again, Zach Kellogg, joined with Chris Dermer, pre-record episode, KUI 89.3 FM. And again, we'll see you all on Friday. And remember, go Vandals.
Roll Vandals.